Interesting. Right. Okay. So this is a mimer. This is a discourse that the Rebbe said on a Tuesday, which that year was the 20th of Shvat, after Mincha in 1970. And that week was going to be Parshat Yitro, as it is this year. And indeed, today, Tuesday, is also the 20th of Shvat. And it is a discourse which was not edited by the Rebbe, but we have it in the Dvar Malchus edition with their pointing and commentary. So we're beginning now on page Hay. And it revolves around the account of the giving of the Torah in the and it's the actual point. Et kol ha'dvarim ha'ele lemo, say. And it's known, again, it's known, the comment, the question raised by Rabbi Shneur Zalman. Why does it say the word lemo? Say, because God spoke to Moses, say, which means people, because God is telling Moses, and the other people in the children of Israel, lemo, you should say it, you should tell it over to the other. Kafish Meforish Rashi, Shechina medaberet, speaks to Moses, Lasal, that he should say it to the rest of the Jewish people. Now that kind of phraseology, God spoke to Moses, said, apply this to the Ten Commandments. We can't explain, because the whole Jewish people were there. And you might say that the lemma means, tell the people who are children, your grandchildren. But we can't say that even. Moses from Sinai, et asher yeshno po ve'et asher einenu po. They'll learn in the Midrash of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that all the soldiers standing there announced, made the covenant with Hashem, and they, all the proselytes who would join the Jewish people, all those souls, with the word lemon doesn't apply to them either. So what the Rabbi Shneur Zalman explains, lemon saying means umavai push lemahu the lemon ledabe et kol divrei haTorah to say lemah leMoshe miSinai, which has already been told over tonight, and that God is going to say it over. V'choach zen Jewish people liyod halacha yod, and we say a Torah teaching of halacha, a teaching of Jewish law, dvar Hashem. That was told to Moses at Sinai, that we are saying. Let's just look at the little commentary on this on the right hand side at the bottom. The words of God which are said, to say them and to speak them in this sense, or speaks words of Torah, he's saying the word. An incredible thing. And that means, line 18 on page Hay, Israel, that God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, but often later it will be lem or saying, shall yedei zeh shekol echad ve'echad mi individual Jew, lomed Torah b'chol makom v'chol zman, sehu poel, he has the effect, shahakadosh baruch hu, lomed Torah k'netinata, that God repeats those at Hasinai, at the over the Shon Chazal is the same Torah v'shoneh, anyone who studies, who reads the Mishnah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reads and recites the Mishnah or whatever it is, we are studying. Whatever, it's Torah, if it's genuine Torah, it was there, it's in the city of Torah today. When we study it, when we study it alone, Hashem is saying it with us at the same time. And that's what it's to recite in this amazing way. Line 24, action to the Ten Commandments. The verse continues, Anochi Hashem. For you do have the Yukmuzah. Now it's known, Oda Eina Muvan. What does it mean? Eich Shai Chalav Yidvarech. Infinite divine. Loma Shebala Hagid, Nerichi Hu Hashem Elekech. I am the Lord your God. You're talking about referencing someone that is a tangible person. I'm Shubal Gufetziot Muna Yadu. Normally, when you say I, body, he's got a particular form, and you know it. And so therefore, for someone, who's Mr. Smith? Samai, Mr. Smith. Ah, you are Mr. Smith, right, Mr. Smith. What does it mean when we're speaking about God? Who is this? Now on to page 12. Mashmut halashon anochi Hashem Elohim, your God, is sha'anochi, the word anochi, husineda, this is God. So what is that? It's that this was an yodimi anochi. If we would know with dark glasses, okay, azay yodim, how does this apply outside of the country? The Vishlama l'shem benugei tetragrammaton. Milashon Mahavin. Now the name, the tetragrammaton, a form of the verb to be. It's a form in the PL, which means the cause to be. It's the third person, imperfect, the cause to be. As a participle, the word Mahavin, you can use this in ordinary daily language. Hu Mahavin et kol ha'inyan. An editor of a newspaper. Yeah, he's running the newspaper. So take away the men, and we're not allowed to pronounce that word because that divine name is causing to be. He causes to be continuous sense. So when we talk about that, even though he's invisible, but we can see moon and stars, the pond with all the tiny little creatures in the water, which as the Torah, right at the beginning. And he talks about the mitzvah. He says, Hayesh, he haderech la'avato v'yirato, awe of God. And then he gives an advice how to do it. B'shash, b'may, the works of God. He says, Ma'rabu mas, how many are your creations, God? U'ma'gadlu are your creations. V'yire mehem chochmato. Am le'da Hashem, will come to know God and feel a tremendous. So when we talk about the tetragrammaton, the name Yudke Vavke, this first line of the Ten Commandments says, I am the Lord, the tetragrammaton. So that is the ultimate source of existence of everything. So we look at it. But what does Anochi mean? What does I mean? And V'alachat Kama V'kama, line 11, towards physical reality. Ha'inyan de Elokech, or thy God, she'elokim u'melashon koha, means power and potential, she'mimenunam, from which come all the powers, all the potentials in the, and the tour, the earlier tour. V'huva b'shul, it's called in the 14th century, and then again in the 18th century, there were different versions of the code of law written by the, in each of them it mentions, creation in a revealed way. The immensity of its immensity, whether it's the Niagara Falls, an ocean, or he knows the nature of Umahateva, and from that nature, now the word Elohim, which is actually with a hey, Aleph Lamed, that is Shabigimatria Hateva. That has a numerical tetvase. They both add up to 86. Two ways. In general, there are two ways of knowing godliness. One is the imminent radiance of God, filling the universe, filling us within the table. And that's Elikecha. And then there's the other dimension, the Dafke, which is the transcendent power of Hashem, but also giving up. So, but the word Anochi, we can understand. That's or explaining what I mean. First of all, line 22 says in the Zohar, Anochi Misha Anochi. I got into that in any letter and in any. So this is a level of God which is completely beyond. So it's Shaykh Ramash, Asiman, Edat, Hashem, Lekechu, Anochi. Kind of knowing God, the indicator is I. So that's our question. So that's the question. Later we'll come to another way. But at this point, we're looking at this Anochi, I, as something completely beyond the issue of us knowing who is an Elohim. And then as we come to the next question. These are two ways of knowing God. Mitzad Mamalikolamin, because of the imminent radiance which fills the worlds, which relates to Elokecha, your God, Elohim, the name Elohim. Umitzad sovev kol almin, and because of the transcendent aspect of the divine, havaya yudke vavki. So in other words, when it says, I am the Lord is the tetragrammaton, Elokecha, I am the Lord, your God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, there's the tetragrammaton, the name Elokim. The tetragrammaton and the name Elokim, in some sense, we can understand. But what about Masha'enkein Anochi, but the word I? What does this word I signify? I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. Sheperushohu k'de'ita b'zohar. What does I mean? Well, the Zohar says, Anochi mish anochi. I am who I am. D'lo itchamiz lo b'shum ot v'lo b'shum kotz. I am not even hinted at, not in a letter, not even in a tiny little bit of a letter. I'm beyond. So there we have the idea of the divine beyond, completely beyond. The in Cain, and if so, Eich Shayach Lomar, how is it possible to say, Shahasiman Ledat Hashem Melekecha, that the sign, that the word helping us know the Lord your God, Hu Anochi, is I. This word I, is infinitely exalted. Anochi Misha Anochi, I am who I am. So God is completely beyond. How can we gain any knowledge of God from the word I? Okay, are people following the argument? Does this make sense?
Yeah,
Gloria, it's making yes. sense.
Hi.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Gloria, it's making sense. All right. And Eve? Okay. Now, on the next page, that's page Zion, we have another question about this. Umamshich bekatuv, and it goes on in the verse, I took you out of the land of Egypt. So here's another question. Why does it say I took you out of the land of Egypt? The commentators and various places in early Jewish literature discuss this. Wouldn't it have been more appropriate to say I'm God who created heaven and earth, something like that? I took you out of Egypt. That's a very sort of local issue. You know, it's just the Jewish people at that particular time. Is that really, great enough for God? If you say, I'm God who created heaven and earth, okay, that's a universal concept that applies to everyone in the world at all times. So that's this question in this paragraph. Okay, well, as is very common in Chabad Hasidus, the way of to answer the question, so we've got, let's just see, what are the questions? One question is, what does it mean, I am the Lord your God. What does that word I mean? The word I, according to the Zohar, is a very, very exalted concept. And how does that help us appreciate God? It's so exalted. And secondly, why does it then talk about taking us out of the land of Egypt, which is very nice, but shouldn't it have been something more general than universal? Okay, so in paragraph Bet, now the way to explain it is by considering another concept. So on line 18, Achmatzino inyan nosaf beferish anochi. There's an additional point about this word anochi that we learn in the Talmud in Tractate Shabbat. And what the Talmud says, a very striking statement, minayin l'lashon notorikon minatorah. Where do we see an example of notorikon? Now, notorikon is, in English, what's the word?
An acrostic?
Yes, thank you.
an acrostic, some, yes, that kind of thing. Where do we see an acrostic in the Torah? In other words, a word in which each letter of the word stands for another word, so that instead of there being five letters, there are five words. So it discusses that in the Talmud, and it gives an example, Anochi, this word, I, from the Ten Commandments. Anochi is the initial letters, the acrostic of Ana Nafshi Ketavit Yahavit. I, God is saying this, I, my soul, myself, wrote myself down and gave myself. That's what Anochi means. I, God, wrote myself down in the Torah and I gave myself to you, the Jewish people. Now, this is an amazing thing. This idea of writing down and then giving it on a lower level, this all expresses tzimtzum gadol biyoter. This is a tremendous veiling, tzimtzum, this idea of contraction, concealment, veiling. It's a tremendous veiling, legabe bechinat anochi, compared with anochi, I am who I am, which the Zohar says that is not hinted at in any way. And that from there, from that exalted level, which the Zohar says, should come down the idea of God writing himself into the Torah and giving the Torah to Moses and to us. So therefore we see that according to the Zohar, the word Anochi is on a very, very exalted level, high beyond Hashem Elokecha, far beyond those other two words, I am the Lord your God. Whereas if we follow the comment of the Talmud, that I, Anochi, is the initial letters, I am writing down myself and giving it to you, so that is actually even below the word Elokecha, that's on a lower level. So you've got, I am the Lord your God, and then you've got, below the Lord your God, you have, I am writing myself and giving myself to you. Because Elohim, sorry.
Rabbi Telly, yes. He's saying he wanted, maybe I've got the wrong end of the stick, so to speak. He wants a relationship with the Jewish people.
Yes.
That's what he's saying?
Yes, he's giving himself to the Jewish people. He's writing himself down in the Torah.
More so than the rest of the world at the moment.
That's another issue. It's not at this point talking about that. At this point, we're talking about the way God is revealed.
He's revealing himself.
So we've got the idea that Anochi, as it says in the Zohar, is an aspect of God which is really completely beyond and beyond revelation. Then we have Yudke Vavke, the Tetragrammaton, which is the transcendent revelation of God. Then we have Elohim, which is the immanent revelation of God. And then we have the way that God communicates himself in the Torah, writing himself down in the Torah and giving the Torah to us. Right? So there we have distinction. So the way in which we have a very exalted aspect of Anochi and an aspect of Anochi right coming into the world. Right? Coming into the world and giving the Torah to us. So I'm skipping things to make them more understandable and that we should be able to cover a little bit more of the discourse. Now, section Gimel. So this section Gimel is on page Chet, right? V'habeyu b'zeh b'k'tzora. Now, the explanation of this briefly is as follows: that the writing of the Torah scroll by Moses. He was the first one to write a Torah scroll, is, as it says, Moses wrote, there's a verse which says, Moses wrote the journeys of the Jewish people from where they come and where they went. So that is a an interesting statement. It is in a section of the Torah, in the book of Numbers, the book of Bamidbar, Sedra Masay, which talks about the journeys, and that Moses wrote down the source from where they came and then where they went. And this is now being taken in a more spiritual sense. Moses drew down the source, Motzav Shoresh HaNeshamot, the source of the souls, the way the souls are rooted in the divine on higher and higher levels till you come to the essence of the divine. So Moses is somehow connecting. He is the leader of the Jewish people. He's the leader of the Jewish people, in a sense, for all time, even though he was there at that particular time, living for 120 years and then dying. Nonetheless, there's a sense in which he is the leader of the Jewish people, as described by Maimonides, the seventh principle of the 13 principles of faith, to believe in that the prophecy of Moses is higher than any other prophet. So he has this special quality, and he is the one who gives the Torah with all the mitzvot. And he is the one who expresses all the souls of the Jewish people. And he's connecting with them above, the way that they are rooted above in the very essence of the divine. And he draws that down in a way of writing. And that is writing the Torah, because the Torah is a Torah of truth. And that word truth is in the 13 attributes of mercy, which come down from the upper will of Hashem. And there it is in a remarkable way, that in a revealed way, it comes from the will of God, the revealed will, which is expressed in the mitzvah. And this is what Moses drew down into writing it in the Torah with ink on parchment, physical ink on physical parchment. Now you see, there is an idea. It doesn't actually refer to it in this discourse. I'm not sure. But there's the idea that every Jew has a letter in the Torah scroll, that the Torah scroll relates to the entire Jewish people. And from the source of all the souls into the Torah scroll itself, the souls, to the way the souls are here in this world and the way they link to the Torah in this world. And he's drawing this down and in a permanent way. And the soul coming down into this physical world. So he's drawing all this, and through that the Jewish people are being connected with God, because there is a bond of the Jewish people with the Holy One, blessed be he. As it says in the Zohar, Talat Dragin Inun Yisrael Raita B'Kutcha B'Rechu. There are three levels: the Jewish people, the Torah, and the Holy One. And each one of them has God on level. So the revealed and hidden level of the Jewish people connects with the revealed and hidden level of the Torah, the revealed and hidden level of the divine. Now, in other discourses, there's a discussion, you know, are the Jewish people connecting with God, or with God directly, with even without the Torah? It's not going into that here. Here, at this point, we have, there's the essence of the divine, and then the connection with God through the Torah and the revelation of the Torah. Now, the Inyan is, section Dalad. The Inyan is, that's on page 10. This descent from their source, this is really talking about the descent of the soul into the body and the animal soul. You see, when we first come to consciousness, we first begin to think, who are we? What are we doing? Awareness that there's our physical body and our appetites, our desire, our taste, our lusts, maybe. And there's a spiritual dimension in us. And that spiritual dimension comes down in order to dwell in the body and the animal soul. And that spiritual dimension coming down into the body is a tremendous descent, discussed in Chassidut. But the body of the person is on a completely different level to the soul. But nonetheless, the soul comes into the body and it's wrapped up in the body. It's mitlabesh, it's hitlabshut, it's enclosed in the body. Like you imagine you put on a glove, so the fingers go into the glove. It's like that, the soul in the body. And in fact, the soul gets unified with the body. They become one thing. You speak to a person, you don't make any distinction between his body and his soul. You say, hello, how are you? How are you feeling? There's one person there. So because of this unity between the body and the soul, which might be to the detriment of the soul, it might conceal the soul. Might conceal the soul from the individual that we're talking about, or from ourselves. Are we aware of our soul, or are we aware of our lusts, passions, desires? Which part are we aware of? V'lechein tzarich, line 7, V'lechein tzarich adam litbon. A person needs a tremendous level of contemplation. Ad sheyavo lidei hakarat, till he or her comes to recognize sheyesh lo ila v'siba shekadma lo, that there was some aspect before him. Ava'adla, in other words, that there's a spiritual dimension higher than one's physical appetite at that moment. Va'adla hakarat sheyesh lo koach hapol benifal, and that can apply to we're recognizing that the fact that I'm here now, or that anything is here, is because there is a spiritual force making that thing be there. And we can even come to recognize not only that we have a spiritual force, which is the animal soul, that's the first level of spirituality within the person, but also there's a deeper level of spirituality, which is the divine soul, shehi chedek alakai, which is a portion of God. Vahainu, this means, sha'af al pi, even though she'inyan zehu etzlo ba'ofen shel emunah, believe this, right? Does a person believe that they have a soul? Yes, they're given a Jewish education, they're told that there's a soul, so they believe it. Mikom makom, nonetheless, mitzad hayerida lamata, because of the descent below into this physical world, yesh tzorach bitbonuna, we have to spend effort in a tremendous contemplation, she'inyan zeh yeh etzlo ba'ofen shel hakara, it should be in a way of recognizing that we have a soul, va'ad lahakara ba'ofen shel ra'iyah, so much so that we can see it, ועד שיתעצם עם הכרה זו, till we really united with that perspective. אבל קודם לזה, but before doing this effort, before making this effort, הרי הוא יש בתכלית, the person is a completely materialistic individual, שנברא באופן שמצד הגשתו, he's created in such a way that according to the way he feels, and the way he looks at life, there's nothing before, there is just his physical being. And so the whole idea is that we have this exalted source, which is the soul as it is within God and then being revealed. And it comes down into the world, but we have to be able to recognize that process whereby the soul comes down into us, into the world, and into a world which even is a world with sheker ha'olam, a world filled with falsehood, or it's got many elements of falsehood in it. And in that world of falsehood, we have to survive and be able to be conscious of our spiritual dimension. Va'avodahi, and the task is, lahafoch et sheker olam, to transform the falsehood of the world. Now, there's an interesting feature in Hebrew, that words, you can take a word and rearrange the letters and it makes another word. So falsehood, if we rearrange those three letters, she and kufresh, which means falsehood, it can become kufreshian, which means a plank, and it means a particular kind of plank, the plank of the sacred sanctuary, shemimenu bonim et hamishkan, the plank from which we build the sanctuary. And the purpose of building the sanctuary is that God should be able to dwell within each of us, within the sanctuary and within each individual. So that is the descent of the soul into the world from a very exalted level, coming down into this physical realm where there are all kinds of problems, the negative aspects. And nonetheless, our task in this world is to build the sanctuary and that godliness should be revealed inside us. All right. So this is presenting a very grand story of our existence here in this world. That the soul comes down from a very exalted level. And then in this world, it has to enter our physical bodies and our animal soul, recognize what our source is, recognize that the divine is hidden in, and live according to the divine, and somehow connect ourselves and the world around us to the divine. And that is what we're trying to do. And that, indeed, is the whole idea of the giving of the Torah, which is what all this is about. Moses being on Mount Sinai, speaking words of Torah and the Ten Commandments coming from God to each of us, so that we should be able to carry out this task of connecting the entire world to God. Now, Ach b'shvil zeh, but in order for us to do this, from above. That's a very interesting idea. In order for us to do anything purposeful and positive here below, we need a certain empowerment from above. Shahari al kol avodah lamata, because every kind of service below in this world, there is a necessity for it aruta de la elo, the arousal from above, which comes, and quotes discuss this. And v'zel klalut in yonder matan Torah, that's what the giving of the Torah is. Now, Hasidic teachings, the giving of the Torah, there was the physical world, and there was the spiritual dimension. And people were often aware of the spiritual dimension, right? Even before the Torah was given, non-Jews didn't have to be Jewish to be aware that there's a spiritual dimension. But the most noble and refined spirits would feel that you either have the physical dimension or you have to be in the spiritual, you seek to be in the spiritual. You can't combine the two. The thrust in a number of different religions, the idea that you have a person who is celibate and who's devoted to the divine, yes, it could be in Christianity, it could be in Japan, the different systems where you have the same kind of idea of being separate from the world and just connected with God. What Matan Torah means, the giving of the Torah, then there was a cancellation of the decree that the upper and the lower should not meet. That's how the Midrash expresses it. There was, in fact, a divine decree in existence, dividing the spiritual from the physical. But that decree is annulled with the giving of the Torah. And through that means that the Torah gives us mitzvah, which apply to physical life, cooking the food that we eat, that the food should be kosher. Food becomes a way of serving God. Every aspect of life becomes a way of serving God through the Torah, which gives mitzvot, commandments. This is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do in every aspect of life. And so all of this is the empowerment from the quality Anochi, from that exalted level. And that means not only from the level of Elokecha, which is that lower level of the divine, which is the same numerical value as nature. And not only from the level of the tetragrammaton, which is very exalted, but from an even more exalted level, Anochi Misha Anochi, I am who I am, which is beyond any kind of hint, beyond any kind of letter. And this is, now this is a very powerful statement here. V'zehu gama otzah ha'elyon. This is the upper treasure. Sheyeshno b'chol echad v'achat miYisrael, which is in every single Jewish man and woman. Mitzad shorsho ba'atzmut, because of his or her root in the essence of the divine. So everyone has this connection. Now he quotes the idea, the way that universally, in fact, not only the Jewish people, universally there is this sense of God, the presence of God. And that means the essence of God, which everyone refers to. And in Yiddish, they say the Beshefer, the creator, there was Lebt Abik, there are various Yiddish expressions, God who lives eternally, and all kinds of other phrases, the Abishter, the one who's above. All that means the essence of the divine. And that essence is beyond any kind of description, and it's beyond everything. And that is the I. That's the I, that's the Anochi, that's beyond. But what is happening through the giving of the Torah is that that dimension which is beyond becomes Hashem, Yudke Vavke, creating the universe, and Elohim, which is a further dimension of the imminent revelation of the divine in the world. And then we have a further aspect of God giving himself. Ano nafshi ketavit yahavit, I write myself, my essence, I write myself down in the Torah and I give it to you. Right? So we've got a whole ladder coming down from the essence of the divine. Now, this line 9 on...
Sorry.
Yes?
Dr. Leventhal, sorry. Can you repeat just slowly the... Rashi to vote the of this Anochi.
Anna,
it's in Anna, Arabic.
It's in Aramaic. Zeba Aramit. Anna, Aleph Nun.
Yeah.
Nafshi.
Okay. It's Hebrew.
Ketavit, which ketavit. Means like katafti.
Ketavit.
And katafti, I wrote it down. I myself, I wrote it down. Now, the last letter, Yud, is an Aramaic word, Yahavit, which means Natati, I gave.
Yahavit?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yahavit means I gave. Right.
Natati, thank you, sorry. Can I ask you just one more question? Are there 600 letters in the Torah?
600,000.
Sorry, 600,000.
Yeah, there's yes, yeah. The truth is, they're not actually 600,000 letters, but the sages explained that when you that there are letters like Aleph and Vav which function as kind of vowels, and if you add in the vowels, then it comes to 600,000 letters. If you add in the vowel letters,
that exactly 600,000.
What do you say to Elabina?
that exactly 600,000?
No, no, it's a different number. It's 400,000 and something. But the sages explained that if you add vowel letters, which is like Aleph, you know, like, for example, if you say Baruch, you know, so Ba could be base Aleph, like Ba, and then Ruch, Reish Vav Chav. So at the moment, it's just base Reish Vav Chav. But if you add in the Aleph for the Ba, for the A, so that will be another letter in it. And if you go through adding the vowel letters, then it comes up to 600,000.
What, when you've added them, it's exactly 600,000.
I don't think it's ever been done exactly. It's just by adding vowel letters, instead of it being 400,000 and something, it'll become 600,000. But the main point is the way in which the Torah scroll functions as the bond between the Jewish people and the divine. I mean, another aspect of it is, which is not mentioned here, is the way the Torah scroll is the bond between God and the universe. So Bereshit Bara Elokim, all these statements about God creating the universe at the beginning of the Torah, that part of the Torah is the bond between God and the universe as well. So the Torah is absolutely amazing. And when we are talking about the giving of the Ten Commandments, we're talking about the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people and the world. Now, v'zeo gamatam. Now, this is also the reason. But here he gives the idea that the Jewish people, through our service below, we connect with the divine above. And that what we do has an effect on above is because there is this kind of chain, this ladder coming down from the very highest essence of Anochi, of I who am I, beyond, coming down through Hashem, Yudke Vavke, the Tetragrammaton, Elokim, Elokecha, and then the further dimension of writing down and giving it to us. So through that long chain, we also have an effect backwards up the chain, that when a person does a mitzvah, for example, or prays, or learns some Torah, there is some kind of effect going up and up and up to the highest level, right? So there's this two-way interaction. So section Hey. Omnom, however, even though the beginning of this flow is from the words Anochi, I am who I am, which is not hinted at in any letter, and this is a level which is higher than all distinctions. Nonetheless, last line on the page, the real goal of service is that it should be drawn down into the name Yudke Vavke, which relates also to the Yudke Vavke in the person themselves. The person has a Yudke Vavke in their own being, the grammaton in our being, coming down into the way we are in our physical self, our animal soul, and our body. And everything intimately interconnects, the spiritual dimension coming down into each one of us, into every aspect of our being. And so that is Elokecha, and the way, not only that, then you have all the different dimensions of the Jewish people themselves. Here we have line 23, all the different levels, that there are people who are leaders, and then there are people going down, 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 till you have hewers of wood, drawers of water. All of them together, they are all unified together with this divine flow coming from the divine and from the ultimate essence of Anochi, I, which is above any kind of description. And so, and the way that that comes out, the way this very deep, intense connection with the divine expresses itself, even though yes, you can say we study something together and we think about it, and it's a very intriguing and profound teaching. But there are also levels beyond that. For example, there's Mesirut Nefesh. Mesirut Nefesh means where the person goes beyond, well, on the simplest level, goes beyond their comfort zone, as people say nowadays, doing something which is really challenging. And they go beyond. They have a certain pattern of life, and they go beyond that pattern in some way. Now, Mesirat Nefesh can even be risking one's life or giving away one's life because one does not want to be parted from the divine in certain extremist situations. The Talmud says if some evil person puts a gun in someone's hand and says to that person, you've got to shoot that other person over there, you don't shoot, or otherwise I'll shoot you, says this evil person. But we have to let ourselves be killed rather than kill some other innocent person. And similarly with some other laws as well. So the commandments, which we have to give up our lives rather than break those commandments. So that's one aspect. That's self-sacrifice. The self-sacrifice person. Me being of the person is suddenly wrapped up with the divine on a very exalted level. And then there's another aspect. There's tshuva, there's repentance. Now, repentance can itself be a form of self-sacrifice. The person has decided that they're going to try to correct things. Tshuva, we sometimes discuss it together. It's tashuv hei. The letter hei coming back to the divine name, it's as if the divine name is fragmented by our behavior, because the fact that we have an effect on the divine above has a positive and also a negative dimension. And so our behavior can lead to a fragmentation in the divine name. And repentance means putting back the divine name together. And there's even exalted, there are different levels of repentance, lower repentance, and tshuva ilah, which is upper repentance, supernal repentance. And that means really returning to Hashem, Baruch Hu Mamash, to Hashem, ledovka bo, cleaving to him, beyichud nifla, with a wonderful unity through prayer. That is an opportunity in prayer to have this devoted bonding with the divine. And that then has an effect on study of Torah and keeping of mitzvot, which take place after that, that all this comes from the atmosphere of this upper unity. Are there any points that anyone wants to raise? Yeah, is this all clear? Yeah, okay. Now then, on page 14, Yud Daled, line 12, he talks about two aspects of this. One aspect is the way that we are, as it were, absorbed above, and the other is the way we draw from above down. And they're both necessary. So this being absorbed above, from above down. And it is finding that we come to one of the questions that we had at the beginning. Right, here, it's in section Zion, which is on page Tet Zion, page 16, section Zion. V'al pizeh yuvan, and through this we can understand, gam mashen, does it say, I'm the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt? Remember, it was suggested at the beginning, it should be a more universal concept. Because the thing is, that the very existence of Egypt, the way it's understood by the sages, as ervat ha'aretz, the lowest place in the world, it was seen as a very immoral place. Egypt was a very immoral place. And there's a verse in the Torah, do not do as the behavior of the land of Egypt, immoral things they used to do, that's what we shouldn't do. So it's an immoral realm, but current day Egypt, Egyptians and so on, that's, you know, we're talking about Egypt and something years ago. Now that Egypt, which is the this immoral realm in the world, that actually begins from the way it is in upper spiritual world, the world of creation, formation, action, and even higher, as it is in the world. And then we have all kinds of aspects of Egypt, and become such a problematic place. We were slaves in Egypt, and we suffered in Egypt. And that is the whole purpose of existence and our relationship with God. Thank you for joining us. We're just at the end of Siman Zion. We have to draw that very exalted dimension down the lowest levels into the Egypt of existence. We're in there, you could say there's always an Egypt. There's always that lower level, that the word, the name of a country. If you draw a map of the world, in Hebrew, Mitzrayim, word Mitzrayim can be repointed, different vowels, and it's Mitzrayim, it's limitations. And at every level, there will be the most exalted spiritual level, but there's still, at some point, there's limitations, and into that, to draw the essence of the divine. So now we're in section Chet. V'zeu v'yedab elekim et kol advarim ha'ele lemo. That's what it means, what it's saying. Particularly saying, because it's in the power of everyone and every time, that through the fact that he or she studies Torah, reading the written Torah, learning the oral Torah, God reads and learns corresponding to that person. And the same way that a person can read, sacrifice, sometimes we have situations where there's tremendous danger involved for a Jew to study Torah.
Somebody's not muted.
Yeah, if people can mute, please. Sorry. So, thanks. So the fact that the person learns with Sirat Nev, that Anochi, that level, that very exalted level of the divine, it's what it means with Sirat Nefesh, reaching to the very essence of the divine in one's own soul, step after step, so that it's revealed below that the quality of Elokecha, your God, draws is from. That the quality of Yudke Vavke goes into of Elokecha, and the quality of Yudke Vavke comes from Anochi. We have all the way down to Elokecha, and I myself down. And it's in such a way, the world of Egypt, in a spiritual way, that we are beyond any. So this is an amazing thing. When it says, I'm the Lord your God who took you out of this, but through us connecting with this chain of the divine, coming from the most down to us, inside our being, and in the way that they're to us, all elements, all aspects of Egypt are dissolved away. The force of everything being deconstructed, no limit land of Egypt. That means God takes us out, and just as we're learning this, takes the Jewish people out of every kind of exile, and the whole this process that we've just been exploring. And God, in fact, does this through the fact that each day, it says in the Talmud, there's a certain beautiful story of Rabbi Joshua coming, and the Messiah says, it's a conversation with Elijah the prophet, he said, Elijah hadn't come, and the Messiah hadn't come. So Elijah said to him, it means God's voice. And it says, the Rambam says, the Talmud says, once we will be redeemed and the whole world will be redeemed. And at once there'll be the redemption from every the idea of breaking down all barriers. And that's the idea of Mashiach Tzidkenu, as it says in the Midrash. It's the one who breaks down barriers. So the Messiah is a descendant of Peretz, the child who there were twins who were going to be cut out his hand, had a red thread around it. And then he drew the red thread, they drew the hand in, twin burst out. And so they called him Peretz. So that, which means bursting out, brother. So this idea of bursting out, that the concept of Mashiach is burst through the walls of exile, and the fact that God is giving himself to us in the, adding into the oral Torah, and that we study it, and we study the written Torah, and the oral Torah, and Hasidic teachings as Tilabi, and with joy and a happy heart, and then there will be not only the learning, but we'll also do things, keying and through this, a person becomes the master over his. And we're also able to get panosa, sustenance from God's open and outstretched hand. and above all kinds of limitations, coming from that level of I am who I am, and that should come down in children, life and health, and that will be revealed with the true redemption through Mashiach Tzidkenu, who will come and redeem us, the land, the Holy Land, very swiftly in our time.
B'chaim.
Amen. Very good.
Tali?
Yes.
I was thinking that the Mabul, the whole world. And then I was thinking, you know, every time the Yidden were had problems, first of all, it was only like really the Yidden who were affected. Is affected is the life we're leading in now with this pandemic. My pandemic is all over the world, Jewish people. And I'm thinking, it's personal, but maybe you agree with me or not, but the situation we had was because we have to deal with dealing with them. We have to deal with everyone. That's the only way we'll bring Mashiach, if we deal with it. So it's very difficult unless, you know, we all have dealings with non-Jewish, with a cleaner, we don't know how to approach it. I would be like a syllabus or something, this very delicate subject.
At least spelled out in Tractate Sanhedrin, and I mean, how many Jews? So, you know, it's very hard to access them unless...
...about 30 years ago called the Righteous Gentile. Through the seven Noahide laws and explains them in detail. Actually written most clearly in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah right near the end. So they're certainly very relevant and most chachan on universal teachings. And community in London, Ikisam had a shiur. Non-Jewish people would come and they would discuss the seven volumes and all the ins and outs of the Noahide laws. And I think he used to use that. So I assume he used that as part of them. What he would say is English in the 1960s. The Rebbe said that was so that non-Jew...
Everyday person.
What?
Everyday person, I'm not talking about in English, in easy terms, how to approach people who are your right to show them that the Sheva Mitzvahs and I know.